morning, we pray that you would join us. And God, as we gather here today, we gather as broken people that ask for you to hear our praise this morning. We ask that you would come and join us, that God, you would grant us the ability to worship today, that God, we would be truthful with you today, we would be honest with you today, and that God, when we look at ourselves, we see the brokenness, but we see the creation that you love the most. We see the creation that was created in your image, the creation that was bought for a price, the creation that is granted forgiveness, the creation that is granted mercy, the creation that was granted love. And so today, God, we know in this very moment that you're on the edge of your throne and you are hearing the praises from Emmanuel Baptist Church. You're on the edge of your throne, seeing into the depths of our hearts, hearing our praise, accepting our worship, because truthfully, you're a good, good Father. And so, God, we thank you for that today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. Look at that, man. That is awesome. I got, like, back home, I don't get that. I get a couple, like, mornings, you know, and that's kind of it. So I want to take a moment and just tell y'all a little bit about us. I know that yesterday was really unique for us. On our way down, we've had a long week. I had a couple of places to speak on Friday, and so we didn't get to come in until yesterday morning. And so we kind of made the curve coming into your church. And so I talked to Wesley, and he was like, look, when you pull in, there'll be a couple of guys there. They'll tell you where to go. And so I pulled in, and I got to thinking. I thought, wait a minute now. We got a guy coming from the hills into the Delta with a whole bunch of people with shotguns, all right? And I don't know if this is a wise move. And then I got to thinking, I probably don't need to tell him I'm with Wesley Brown, because that might make it even worse. And so I had to think this thing through. And so I sat there for a minute, and I thought, okay. And so we played it smart. We come in the back way. We didn't come in the front way. We turned around and come in the back way. And sure enough, as soon as we pull in and park, we open the door to get our kids out, and I hear, "Pay-yow!" And my little girl goes, "Ah!" And so I'm like, it's okay, baby. They don't know we from Carroll County yet, so it's all right. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And so, no. I do want to just kind of go ahead and just introduce myself maybe a little thoroughly, because we are worshiping together this morning, and it is true, I am from the hills, but I do love the Delta. I've been able to come over here like last year and work with some students for a Disciple Now weekend, fell in love with some people here in Greenville, and so when I got the call, Wesley called me and it said, hey man, could you come speak at our skeet shoot? And I thought, well, we got a church having a skeet shoot, so they got to be pretty cool people. I said, well, you know, you got to give that preacher answer. You know, you got to go, let me pray about that. You know, you got to do that. And so I was fixing to say that. And he said, now, look, you ain't got to dress up. So we ain't a coat and tie church. And I said, well, I'll be there. You know, you ain't got to pray about that anymore. You just come on to those kind of events. But we serve as student pastors at Williamsville Church in Kosciuszko. We went on staff in January. We had been out of ministry for probably about almost 2 years, I would say. And so God had transitioned and pulled us back in. And so I want to stand before you today saying, I'm no better than you are. And so if you've come to church today and you think that you have a guest speaker that's got it all together, well, you're in the wrong place today, all right? I used to sit in the pews and somebody would get up and they would speak and they would preach and I would start to compare myself and I would go, God, you know what? I wish I had it all together like that guy. And I would start trying to measure myself up. And so we went through a phase in life that I titled brokenness. And through that brokenness, I got to realize something. We all just alike. We kind of like the chocolate chip cookies we made from the same dough. You know what I'm saying? We might be baking in different pans, but we all from the same dough. And so this morning, I hope and pray that you can look up here and go, you know what? That guy doesn't have it all together. That guy is still in the process of sanctification. He's a guy that's been justified through the blood of Christ, but he's still in the process of sanctification, and he's just like me. He has the same struggles, the same battles, the same worries, probably some of the same fears. He is just like me. And so we are. We're just some Carroll County, normal, down-to-earth people that God has been able to speak to and work in our lives. We've been doing student ministry for about 16 years. God called me in when I was about 16 years old. I grew up in a church that absolutely had zero student ministry. Didn't have a clue what it was. And about, I don't know, maybe a year later, I met a student pastor. Never heard of those guys. Didn't know what he was. Got to talking to him. He invited me on a student trip. I went with him, come back and told our home church, my little country home church. I said, we got to get a youth pastor. Like, they get to do some cool stuff. I mean, it's a cool thing. And so within about 2 months, they got one. And I said, well, who is it? And they said, you. And I said, what? You know, now welcome to Southern Baptist, you know what I'm saying? And so they said, we're going to let you start teaching Sunday school. And I said, well, God hadn't talked to me about this. Obviously, y'all talked to God about this, but God has not talked to me about this. And so I just thought, well, you know, why not? And so I ended up teaching Sunday school. Had a blast with that. And so God started transitioning. God started training some things, and that ministry just began to grow. Before I knew it, another church called me. And so I transitioned into that church and then stayed there for about 5 years. Another church called me, transitioned into that church, was licensed and ordained, stayed there for about 3 years, just continued on moving through my education. And kind of had to take off there for just a little bit, just for what my academics require. And so through that, Jenny and I got engaged. And shortly after we were engaged, her dad was killed in a car wreck about 3 weeks after our engagement. And so life kind of shifted a little bit. And we started going to church with her mom at a Methodist church. And I went on staff at a Methodist church for 6 years. Promised them 12 weeks. Stayed there 6 years. And what I didn't know was those people were going to wrap their arms around us and carry us through some healing. And I fell in love with those people. And that's where we really truly learned where student ministry is and what ministry is about meeting people where they are. And so after that, I was called into another church, back into the Baptist church, praise God, and got into the Baptist church. A friend of mine came on as pastor, and we were next door, and I think they pretty much well knew what was probably going to eventually happen, and sure enough, God began to work, and we stayed on staff at that church for 10 years, and then shortly after that, we went through a pretty in-depth brokenness from losing an adoption to all sorts of things. And we don't have time to talk about that too far in depth. And then a little while later, I get a text message from a guy. And he goes, hey, man, call me. I want to tell you about our church. And my brain said he wants a resume. And my heart said, you're going there to serve on staff, just in that quick moment. And I was like, oh, no, this isn't good. So we began to fight the process, and we went toe-to-toe with God there for a while. And within about 3 months, we were on staff because God got us to a place where I was scared not to take the position. And so we ended up taking the position, and God has been working in our family. We absolutely love our students there at our church. And through all that, we get to come and do some speaking engagements and things like that. And so here we are. And so we're here with you today. And I want to say thank you. I want to extend a huge thank you to your church, because you don't normally get the hospitality that I've gotten here. And I'm not saying that just because I'm here. I'm saying that because it's very, very true. Even though we got out of our car and the first thing we heard was a shotgun, They walked us in, and first thing they did was put our name in the drawing out there. And I thought, man, this is pretty cool. And then they showed us where the food was, and we just got welcomed, and we got loved, and we got to stay in the private Hilton Hotel last night at Wesley Brown's house. And if you see what we're living in right now during transition, you would know that that's amazing, because the house that we don't have TV right now. We're trying to sell a house to get to a house, so we don't have TV. Our kids walked in and saw a TV and went, ah, and they ran and jumped on the TV. And so we have just had a blast here with you. And so, church, thank you for loving us that way. Thank you for loving us that way. So we're going to dive into some text today, and we're fixing to worship together today. But before we do that, I want to ask you something. Will you be honest today? Because here's what's happened. I've been transparent with you this morning. And I've been transparent before God this morning. And so I'm going to ask you to be transparent before God this morning. You don't have to be transparent before me this morning, because I'm not your God. I'm just a messenger here today that God has chosen to bring you a message. But this morning, for us to have true worship, there's a couple of things that's got to happen. We got to be honest with ourselves, and we got to be transparent before God. Because here's what I believe. I believe and I know that Jesus is alive and well. I know that Jesus is on the throne right beside the Father in heaven. And I know that when you got up and you sang those songs a while ago, when you worshiped a while ago, that the voice of God, the ears of God, the heart of God, the eyes of God pierced right through the clouds in the sky, and he focused his heart right in on Emmanuel Church, because you were offering your hearts to him. You were drawing near to him. And because of that this morning, God has drawn near to you. And so if you have come to church this morning and you have not expected God to meet you this morning, I hate to tell you, but he's fixing to change your expectation. This morning, God is more excited to meet with you and I than we are with him. Because whether we know it or not, there are times in our life where we kind of get enough of God, but God never gets enough of us. Because his love is unconditional. And so God has this huge heart to meet with you and I this morning. And so here's the thing, church. I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I lack seeing in a lot of our worship services is that when people find out that the God of all creation, the God of heaven and earth, the God that paid the price, the God that bought us through mercy, the God that crawled on a cross, the God that died for us, when that God wants to meet with us on a Sunday morning, I don't understand how we can't get on the edge of our chair, because God's on the edge of his chair. And when people get on the edge of their chair and they're getting on the edge of that chair with expectation, and they're inviting and they have an invitation to God from God, and we want to meet with God, it should be an exciting morning this morning. If we have prepared ourselves for worship this morning, then church, I want to go ahead and encourage you, go ahead and let your heart open up. Go ahead and let your mind open up, because there is nothing you have walked into the church house this morning that God hasn't already defeated. And not only has he not already defeated it, he already knows about it. And so it doesn't matter where you are this morning. God has every intention to meet with you and I. And so for that, let's get excited. Let's get a little bit of oomph in our step this morning. Let's get a little smile on our face. Let's get a little excited, because we're just going to open up to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to go to Mark chapter 2. And we are going to read an amazing story. Mark chapter 2. Now, once we get going, I want you to know I've already been given permission to shed this coat, because it doesn't really fit in with y'all's dress attire here, so it's possible that the coat's going to come off. All right, so I'm just going to give you a heads up on that. But don't let that bother you. All right, Mark chapter 2. And we're going to read a couple of verses there. We're probably going to read, let's just read like 1-5. Love this story, deep truth, and we're going to try to peel this thing apart, okay? So Mark chapter 2, verse 1 says this: a few days later, when Jesus again entered into Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. And some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So pray with me real quick. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. God, we thank you for this truth. And so, Lord, would you bless it now? Give us the ability to peel this apart. Give us the ability to hear the depth of this moment. And so, God, would you bless this? Allow us to worship you through this. And God, speak through us as we seek you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So what do we have going on? So let's kind of get us a little background story here. All right. So real quickly, here's what we got. Jesus has come back to Capernaum again. All right. And he is in this building. Things have been happening. He's in this building and he's speaking. And so all these people have gathered around. And so what we just really read is a true picture of the church. Now, you may not can see that right now, but what we just read was a true picture of the church. So let me kind of give you an idea of what this looks like, maybe if we brought it in today's time. If we announced, truthfully, and you got to use your minds here, that Jesus in the physical form was going to be at Emmanuel Church this morning speaking, and the word goes crazy. This goes over K-Love. This is over all the radio stations. This is out in your newspapers. And when you pull up to church this morning, you can't even turn off the highway because there's so many people already here trying to get in just to see Jesus. When I tell you it's people everywhere, I'm telling you it is packed by the thousands at this joint. If you would kind of wrap your minds around the idea, maybe you have a civic center here and you rented out that civic center. Jesus is the headliner and everybody from 100 miles from Arkansas all the way across to Carroll County, everybody at one time is trying to get into one location to get their eyes on Jesus. All your people on the highway, all your fast food restaurants, Wendy's, Taco Bell, all those people, they don't know what in the world's going on. Your sheriff is calling going, "What in the world is happening at this place? What is going on?" People are everywhere. People are crowded. They're packed shoulder to shoulder. Mamas are there. Daddies are there. Families are there. Kids are there. Everybody is trying to get into one place to hear from Jesus. Because they want to. Because they want to. And so when I read this verse, I look at it and I go, "God, why were these people so hungry for you?" And so what we see is that prophecy in this moment, back in this day when Mark wrote this verse, what we see is prophecy was being fulfilled. In Isaiah chapter 7, they had read and knew that Isaiah had already prophesied the Messiah would be coming. And so now they have this amazing opportunity not only to hear from the Messiah, but see the Messiah. And so when we take a good look at this, here's what we got. We got a whole bunch of people coming into one location because they want to see Jesus. And so I take a look at that and I go, man, look at the heart of these people. And so I'm thinking and I picture this in my mind and I picture like this big old civic center and I picture Jesus up on stage just kind of like this. And I see there's standing room only. There's people trying to get in that door. There's people trying to get in that door. There are people trying to get in that door. There are people up in the back with the sound guy. There are people packed in the Sunday school room. There's people all in the parking lot. You can't close the door because everybody wants to hear from Jesus. What kind of day is that? If you want to find a revival, that's the moment. Because you got people who are so hungry to hear from Jesus, they're compacting the place. I'll tell you this, I have yet to speak in a church in the last 10 years that looked like that. And the question is why? Why is that? And I said, well, God, maybe it's something wrong with these people. And so I got to thinking about this. So Jesus is on stage, and I got to thinking about this. I asked myself this question. I said, what kind of people do you think are outside? I said, I'll tell you what kind of people is outside. You got people standing out trying to get to Jesus who are hurting on the inside. These were just normal people. They were normal people just like you and I, standing outside of being you, trying to get in to hear from Jesus. And these people that were standing on the outside, I want to let you know something. Some of them were scared to death financially. Some of them's marriages were hurting. Some of them were battling disease. Some of them were battling self-esteem. Some of them were battling doubt. Some of them were battling worry. Some of them were battling fear. Some of them were trying to hang on to life. Young ladies, some of them, when they looked in the mirror, they didn't like what they saw. Young men, they were battling addictions. So we got a whole heap of people trying to meet up with Jesus that's got a whole heap of problems. That begins to sound more similar to the church today. But the difference in the church today than in then was this. It was okay to bring your brokenness. It was okay to bring your problems. It was okay to bring your worries. It was okay to bring your fears. It was okay to bring all that to Jesus. And they knew that if they brought that to Jesus and they could get to Jesus, watch this. They knew that when they left, they would be changed by Jesus. So they were doing everything they could possibly do to see Jesus and to hear from Jesus because they knew they would be changed by Jesus. Now, here's the thing. When I get to speak on that message, I've had people come up and go, well, I've been changed by Jesus. Let me just go ahead and tell you, if you're not daily by daily by daily being changed by Jesus, then you probably haven't been officially first changed by Jesus. Because Jesus loves you too much as an individual to leave you just where you are. You see, you're now at this point called sanctification. If you've been justified by Christ, meaning at your point of salvation, then you move from justification into sanctification. And when you moved into sanctification, that's where Jesus begins to work in your life to make you more like him. And so what happens is that we must understand that we can go through this process of sanctification where the Holy Spirit comes into us and day by day by day, we fight the normal battles, the normal struggles of every day. But through those battles, through those struggles, Jesus works in us to make us more like him. Not to be him, but to be more like him. And so one of the things that I think that God would want us to hear this morning, church, is this. Is that if you're coming week after week and you're seeking out Jesus, but your spiritual growth is not progressing forward, then there is something lacking. And so God has no intention for anybody in worship service this morning to walk out the door the same way you walked in. God this morning wants to expose himself into your life to where you have a life-changing experience each time you come into the presence of God. And so what's happening is that these people are bringing all their stuff to Jesus so they can be changed by Jesus, so they can be like Jesus. And that's the attitude that we should have as a church. And so I'm looking at this. I'm going, okay, God, this is amazing. Like, we got people who are broken on the outside. We got people that are hurting on the outside. And all these people, that they're trying to get in and they're trying to hear from Jesus. But then this truth makes a massive shift. In the midst of all those people, a group of men show up. And four of those men are toting a paralyzed man on a mat. And so now what we got is we have this scene. We got people, the house is packed, everybody's outside, and maybe you're right there in that door, and you look out, and there's kind of a commotion, and what's happening is a group of men, four of those men are carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. And when they get here, on their journey, they knew that they could take this broken man, get him in front of Jesus, and if it was Jesus' will, this man would be healed. And so it looked like a pretty simple thing. I don't know how early they left, But I know they left, and so they took this guy, they put him on a mat, and they come here, and when they get here, their hearts get broken. Because it's so many people trying to get to Jesus that it looked like they can't get to Jesus. And so they probably have to huddle up and go, okay, boys, what are we going to do? How are we going to get him in front of Jesus? We got thousands of people. How are we going to get in there? And so they start searching options. And this paralyzed man, I wonder what, it says he was paralyzed, so it doesn't mean that he was deaf, and it also doesn't mean that he couldn't see. And so now we got a man laying here that when he was picked up by the four men and they were bringing him to Jesus, his heart was filled with hope. But when he got to the church and it's so many people, he can't get to Jesus. I wonder what his hope did. I bet his hope sank. And so now we got these guys and they're going, look, we got to do something. And so they look around at the church. They look around at the building and they go, well, it doesn't matter how we do it. But I can tell you this, he's going to see Jesus today. And I believe some of those boys might have been some pretty buff boys. They might have lifted rocks in the day. I don't know. But I believe a couple of them guys got together and they said, look, man, we finna put him in front of Jesus, all right? And so I don't know if one of them just lowered his head and he just started plowing through the crowd. I don't know what they did. I don't know if they were like, excuse me, like get out the way. They may not have been too much like Jesus as they was trying to get to Jesus. I don't know. But what I do know is that they made a way to get to the building. And so when they got to the building, they got to looking. There's no way we'll get in, but that ain't the only way in. We can't get through the windows, but that ain't the only way in. So why don't we just get a ladder, climb up on the top, we'll cut a hole in the roof and lower him down. One of them said, oh, no, we better not do that, man. They got a properties committee. They'll have a stroke. You can't do that. You can't, don't you mess up the building. I mean, that's going to be terrible. The other one said, well, I ain't too worried about the properties committee because he's more important. And so they look around and some sort of way these dudes figure out how to climb up on the roof of the building. They take something, I don't know, and they cut a hole in the roof. They take a rope and they lower this paralyzed man down in front of Jesus. So what that would be like is that you got a ticket. You're in here. It's packed out. All of a sudden, Jesus is talking. We hear racket on the roof. And then you look up. Sunlight beams down right here in the center. And all of a sudden, a dude is lowered down by a rope on a mat right here. Now, we're in a Baptist church. Let's just be real. Some of y'all going out the windows and doors if that right there happens. You're not going to stay in here. You've been to bail ship, all right? You're going to say, that don't look like the rapture, but it could be the rapture, so I'm out of here, all right? And so you're getting out of the place. But can we not all agree this morning that that's a pretty radical move by these guys? That's a radical move by these men. And so as I studied that text, I began to ask myself the question. I said, God, why did these guys do this? Why did they do this? Well, the first thing is this. I'm fixing to give you three good points, and I hope that you can take these home. The first thing, the reason why they did this, is because these men were relational and not religious. These men were relational and not religious. And you may go, what's that mean? What that means is because these men were relational with Jesus, they did not have the ability to leave another man down. They did not have the ability to leave another man behind. They did not have the ability to walk away from a fellow brother. They did not have the ability to look at this person, this paralyzed person, as just some being. You see, when these men walked by and they seen this paralyzed man, here's what they seen. They seen a child of God in need who was broken, who needed help. And because they had a relationship, because they were relational with Jesus, they decided to do something about it. And then not only did they decide to do something about it, but they were going to accomplish it. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. But so, church, I want you to capture something this morning. Relational people with Jesus, relational people will make a major difference. But religious people will carry the tradition. And here's what they would do. They walk right on by. They would have walked right on by and left that paralyzed man sitting right there. Now you may be going, how does this apply to me? I'm fixing to say something that's going to hurt. And I can say it because I don't pastor here. And I can say that and get out of here. And I may not be asked back, but I can say it this time. I'll tell you why we have empty chairs. And I'll tell you why we don't have people beating down the doors. I can tell you why you don't have to get at church super early to fight for a parking spot. I can tell you why you can walk in and get whatever you need whenever you need. You don't have to worry about the coffee running out. You don't have to worry about somebody getting in your chair. And the reason why we have a bunch of empty chairs in every church that's in worship this morning could be that we have more religious people than relational people. Because religious people will walk by other people and never say, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Relational people don't have the ability to leave those people behind. So when we take a look at this verse, I wonder in our worship services today in Mississippi, how many relational people do we have in worship and how many religious people that we have in worship? Because religion will feed tradition. Relational will make the change. And so this week, I'm fixing to drive a nail. How many paralyzed people have you walked by and you were not able to recognize that they were in need, that they were paralyzed, that they were sick, that they were hurting? How many people have you walked by this week that you left laying on the mat? So now I'm looking at these guys and I go, okay, God, I see this. I see that they're relational. They're not religious. Another thing that I dug down and I looked at these four men, they had to have heart. And so I believe that because they had faith in Jesus, their heart had went from a transformation, that their heart had went from self to service. And so because these men had heart, their heart had been transformed off of self and into service. Can I say that one more time? Their heart had been transferred off of self into service. And let me go ahead and tell you, self is the biggest killer in churches today. Self will destroy your church. It will destroy your family. It will birth pride in you. It will hinder your growth. It will hinder your sanctification. It will pause you. It will make you numb. It will control you. It will own you. And all of a sudden, your world will become about self. And you go, man, how in the world can you stand up there and say that? Because I'm in sanctuaries and churches all the time. And I see more people that's more concerned about the temperature in the church than they are the service of the church. They fuss more about the music of the church than the worship of the church. And the reason why they fuss is because it don't serve self. You may have walked by a paralyzed person and you didn't stop because of your schedule, not his. You didn't stop because you were busy. When the enemy can step in and wrap your mind up on self, then watch this. The only service you will grant is what you do in here. And that's it. Now, you'll end up doing a couple traditional things that make you feel well. You'll send some stuff out at Christmas, and occasionally you'll help somebody. And you may be going, where are you digging this from? I'm digging this straight from the book of Luke when he says, if a man cannot hate his mother, his father, his children, his wife, he is not worthy to be my disciple. He says if you can't give up everything that you have, he cannot be my disciple. And so some sort of way, we've gotten this idea that Jesus has come in just to save us, and that's all we'll ever get from heaven, and our service is what we do in the four walls, and that we have jobs, we have education, we have children, we have families, and yes, those are responsibilities. But he never asks us to forget our kingdom service. Never forgets to ask for us to forget our kingdom service. So I would ask you this. When you take a good look at you, has your heart been transformed from self to service? And so I'm looking at these men. I go, okay, God, I totally get that. The next thing, these dudes get here and there are thousands of people. Not only can they not fight through the crowd, they have to. Then they get to a building, they can't get in, and so they climb a wall and dig a hole in the ceiling. Now, let's process that for a minute. If you go, man, how in the world, what would you name that? How would you even describe that scenario? Here's what I'll say. That, my friends, is commitment. So I believe that when these men walked under the faith of Jesus, that their hearts were converted into commitment. And so here's what I want to ask you this morning. When you take a look at your church and you look at the conversion of your church and you look at the conversion in your family and you look at the conversion only in your heart, inside of your life, does God see commitment? And we're not talking about half-hearted commitment. We're talking about fully sold-out commitment. Because let me tell you something. If this is the only commitment you give when you walk inside the church, that's not commitment. Commitment is birthed from obedience. Obedience is birthed from surrender. And so let me tell you what the life of a committed person looks like. The life of a committed person looks and says, God, you have placed somebody before me today that I can introduce to you. And so they take him, slide him on a mat, and it doesn't matter what they have to do, they put that man in front of Jesus. Because they were committed to Jesus, they were committed to him. And so I want to ask you something this morning, church. Do you start off your morning going, God, I have responsibilities today, but my commitment today is to you. And God, here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to take me today, and I want you to put somebody in my pathway today that I can share you. How many of us pray about that today? When you back up your prayer life a month, have you prayed that? It's not wrong to ask God for healing, and it's not wrong to pray over your finances. It's not wrong to pray over your family. But let me tell you something. We have missed praying for service. We pray for this service, but we don't pray for the outside service. And because we don't pray for the outside service, you got empty chairs in your church every Sunday, week after week. And we walk by paralyzed people. The last thing that these men had was eternity with expectation. When they accepted Christ, they walked into something called eternity. But when they walked into eternity, they walked into it with expectation. Let me tell you, these men never doubted that if they got him before Jesus, that Jesus would do something. When they showed up to meet Jesus, they expected something. They knew that the King of Kings, that the Messiah, that the Son of God, that the Creator of all the universe, they knew that he loved them enough that if they could bring their fellow brother in front of Jesus, they expected with all of their heart, all of their mind, all of their soul, all of their body, they knew King Jesus was going to do something. And it may not have been in that moment, but they didn't care. It may not have been for another month, but they didn't care. It may not have been for another year, but they didn't care. What they knew was they had to put that man in front of Jesus with expectation from Jesus that Jesus was going to move. And I'm going to tell you, I think we have churches all over the state that walk in on Sunday morning, and here's what you expect. A feel-good moment. A feel-good moment. Instead of a transition moment. We expect a good worship instead of a heart change. We expect a good word instead of a revolution. We expect to walk out and live life normal instead of radical. These men lived a radical life. That's why we're still reading about them. That's why we're still reading about them. And so here's the thing. I want to ask you guys something this morning. You live in the Mississippi Delta. I live in the Mississippi Hills. And every day, I know I fail and I walk by people who are paralyzed on a mat. I fail because I'm human. And so I have to come to a place where I have to wake up. And in that morning, I have to say, God, today my flesh is going to battle me. And I'm going to have to battle through the struggles today. But God, here's what I want you to do. Help me remember my commitment to you. God, help me be relational today and not religious. Help me be committed today and not only converted. And God, help me walk through the day with expectation. And so as I do that, I feel that I have done just about everything I could do to start my day off with my Father. And hopefully through that day, God will show me a man on a mat that I can make a difference for. And so here we are at the end of a worship service, fixing to step into a time of invitation. And I know that may be a quick transition. So what does that mean? What that means is for the musicians, they're fixing to come up. What that means for you is it's time to stand up. Not literally yet. But I'm talking about in here. It's time for you to pause just for a moment and go, wait a minute, God. Yesterday I walked by one of those people and I didn't see him and I'm sorry. God, last week I walked by one of those people and I didn't see him and I'm sorry. God, last month I walked by 10 of these people and I'm sorry. And I know I walked by them because I've been more religious than I have relational. God, I've been focused more on my conversion than my commitment. And it hasn't grown to that point where I understand it. God, would you show me that I'm living in an eternity serving a God with expectation? God, I don't want to live my life with the pew beside me and the chair beside me empty because of something I haven't done. So this morning, church, did you come in here expecting God to change your heart and your life right where you are? And you may be going, dude, you don't know me. I'm too far gone. I'm bold enough to say, you may be the man that's going, I'm battling with these things on my phone. And girls, you may be battling with your self-esteem and what you see. Your past, your mistakes, your hurts, your worries. And God says, I'm not worried about all of that. What I'm worried about is this moment right here. And I don't care how old you are. It doesn't matter. I know exactly where you are. And I know you because I created you. And I designed you for a purpose. And that purpose is to get my people off the mat. But here's one more truth. We may have people in here this morning who are laying on the mat. And if you're laying on the mat, God says this. Come to me. get up and walk. Your faith can make you well. And so it's very simple. We got two classes of people in here this morning, including myself. We're either laying on the mat or we have forgotten the mat, one of the two. And so this morning, my prayer is that you came to church with expectation for God to transition your heart. And I absolutely know nothing about your church. But what I do know, in every church, God is alive and God is well. And God loves when his people draw to him. And I think your pastor's going to be down front in a moment. And you got altars, you got plenty of places to pray right here. And there may be the moment where you just need to come before God and say, God, I need to be sold out and committed. God, I want to be one of these four that'll do whatever it takes to put somebody in front of you. Maybe you're the person that's laying on the mat this morning. You're saying, God, it doesn't matter. I'm tired of laying down. I'm tired of living a normal, mediocre life. I want to live something radical for you. And don't take that insulting, because I lived that life for a long time. And so the question is what does Emmanuel Church want to do this morning? And so we're going to stand. And I want you to do something truthfully in your heart. We're fixing to pray. But the most critical moment before we pray is this. Your honesty and your transparency with God the Father. Your honesty and your transparency. Be honest and open this morning. Let me pray over you. Father, we love you. And God, this morning we have gathered up as your people, as your broken people. And some of us, we've walked by the mat many times. And some of us are laying on the mat. We haven't always been there, God, but life struggles and life battles have put us down. God, for some of us, our focus has been off. And because our focus is off, our eyesight has been affected and we begin to see through our eyes and not yours. God, because our focus has been off, it begins to affect our hearing and we hear with our ears and not yours. And we gather this morning, God, broken because this week we have not been kingdom effective. God, it's so easy in this world that we live in where we can forget our purpose. We forget who we were created by and who we were created for. And God, this morning, can we recognize that everything that we have is because of you? And so, God, as we recognize that this morning, could we just be honest and bow our heads before you and say, Lord, reinstate. Give me the ability to commit. Give me the ability to see with your eyes. Give me the ability to hear with your ears. God, this week, I don't want to live it like I did last week. I want to live it differently for you. And so, God, for whatever's in the house this morning, maybe there's doubt. Maybe there's worry. Maybe there's somebody here who says, I've never been saved and I want to give my life to the Creator of all creation, to the Savior. God, if that's a person that's here this morning, would you speak in their heart truth and life? God, we thank you. God, would you move? And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
This is the air I breathe.